Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So tell me what you thought of Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank.
This was an amazing film. I have never seen anything like it in the history of cinema before in my life. This is groundbreaking. It is. There are no words to describe how unique this movie is. The originality of the plot and the characterizations. And it's just, how did I not know about this sooner?
All right, you got me. This one's not from my childhood. In fact, it was just released in 2022. A reimagining of my favorite movie. You've already seen that one, so I had to get you to watch it a different way.
Fair enough.
All right, for those of you just joining us for the first time, willkommen. We're glad you're here. This is You Want Me to Watch What? Podcast, where Justin and I, who have seen thousands of movies between the two of us, look for things that the other one hasn't seen yet. And today, we watched Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank.
Now, sarcastic comments aside, I did enjoy it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
There was a peaceful town called Cacamucho, where cats all lived in harmony. They never had no kind of trouble. There was no hint of misery. Yeah, the movie started its life as Blazing Samurai, which is still the opening credit song.
Yeah, and I'm annoyed that they didn't stick with that name.
I am not, because it means that it just hoodwinked me a little bit. I didn't know it until I started watching it, what it was. And so I got to go from, oh, it's a funny kids movie, you know, Hong Kong Phooey ripoff, to, oh my lord, it's Blazing Saddles Jr.
Okay, that works.
And so that's how I'm starting this. Do you love Mel Brooks? Of course you do. Do you love Blazing Saddles? How could you not? Did you wish that you could show Blazing Saddles to your kids without fear of society judging you for exposing your kids to genius at too young an age and possibly having them repeat some of the most offensive words in the English language at school? Yeah. Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank is about as close as you'll get, I think, to a Blazing Saddles Jr.
And the fact that it was produced by Mel Brooks, they gave him a writing credit because he came up with Blazing Saddles, and he's in the movie, doesn't hurt.
Fun fact, they also give a writing credit to Richard Pryor.
Because he, yeah. They gave writing credits to everybody who wrote Blazing Saddles.
Yep. All right, so Cacamucho is a peaceful town doing its best to get by. Unfortunately, Hedley Lamarr, I mean, Ikachu, one of the high-ranking officials of the Shogun's government, wants that land to expand his palace. The best option, of course, is to send in a pack of brigands and thugs to scare the people off the land, and it works on the samurai that was supposed to protect the town. Doesn't work on the rest of the town, so the town sends a letter to the governor. Sorry, Shogun. Voiced by Mel Brooks.
They send a letter to Mel Brooks.
To have a new samurai appointed. When I heard Mel Brooks' voice, I fell in love all over again.
Work, work, work. It's all...
The Shogun phones up his high-ranking official, Ikachu, using the game telephone.
Yes.
There's just a line of cats.
Small, fluffy cats.
And it is amazing and hysterical.
Did you notice that when the Shogun was talking, the cat Ikachu was holding was moving its mouth?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Did you catch that it went wrong within, like, the third cat? And then it got so corrupted that it became correct again at the end?
No, I didn't catch that.
Just listen to that part again, the way they do it. It starts getting corrupted like a real game of telephone.
Yeah.
by like the third or fourth cat that turn, because it's all just cats turning their heads and whispering the message in the next cat's ear. And it gets so bad that eventually it just comes out correctly on the other end.
Nice.
So Ikachu is told to take care of it. And in Grand Blazing Saddle style, Ikachu appoints Hank, a dog, as the samurai for the town of all cats. A town that has a sign at the border that says, no dogs allowed. Things don't really go well for Hank. He eventually makes friends with Jimbo, an old samurai now pretty deep into his catnip. And Jimbo agrees to train Hank as a samurai, which means montage time, of which they reference. A lot of references in this to this being a movie.
Yes. A lot of fourth wall breaks.
It felt a bit Muppety sometimes.
Well, to be fair, Mel Brooks does that too.
Yes, Mel Brooks does do that. And... it would just coming right off of the Muppets, which I think we did last time.
Yeah.
Is like, man, I wonder if fourth wall breaks are just going to be our thing.
I hope not.
I hope not for long. They have their place. Anyway, Jimbo agrees to train. So montage, as Hank gets better, Ikachu decides he needs the people gone sooner. So he sends in Mongo, now named Sumo, to get the people gone. We even get the horse punching scene,
mm-hmm.
which surprised the heck out of me that showed up. Jimbo is the one who stops Sumo, but Hank thinks he's the one who did it and takes the credit for it.
Yep.
And so the townspeople start seeing Hank as the hero and things start looking up for him. Except now he's letting it get into his head. He ignores his training, falls in with the evil Ikachu, who takes him to Lily's. A private club. I don't know if you noticed that one. Instead of Lily von Stupp, the club is named Lily's.
Yeah.
Where Hank breaks. Hank breaks with his live action movie parallel and he falls for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while he parties, the town is overrun and Sumo is captured. When they get back, Hank and Jimbo have a falling out and that ends anticlimactically when Hank shows up to help Jimbo rescue Sumo from prison. But because Sumo has escaped, Ikachu is angry. And so he sends rustlers and cutthroats and murderers, bounty hunters, desperados, mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits, vipers, snipers, con men, agents, bandits, muggers, buggerers, bushwhackers, hornswogglers, horse thieves, train robbers, bank robbers, ass kickers, shit kickers, and Methodists, I think, to finish everyone off.
There was also a mime there.
There was a mime. It's a terrible thing to waste. Spoiler for a movie released in 1974. They build a fake town to fight the bad guys in. Hank fights Ikachu on a giant toilet. Don't ask. Great one-off gag, though. The giant toilet overflows, because that's what giant toilets do. The overflow almost floods the town. Hank uses his dog abilities to convince the cats that they need to dig. The Shogun rewards Jimbo as the new samurai. Jimbo gives it to Hank. Hank gives it to a kitten named Emiko. And Hank and Jimbo then playfully continue Hank's training while the credits move into a parody of the theme from Shaft. Which, wow. Just,
yeah.
Wow. And then at the very end of the credits, you get the credits scene of Ikachu being in prison and in some ways just being thankful that he doesn't have to be in the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Blazing Saddles is my favorite movie. There are a lot of movies that I really enjoy. Blazing Saddles is my favorite movie. And seeing this like this is at once joy-filled and a little heartbreaking. Because this is the way that I introduced my kid to Blazing Saddles.
Same here. I started watching it, and about 20 minutes in, my son was sitting right next to me on the couch.
And it is differently funny.
Differently funny, yes.
The story beats are pretty much all there. You know, with a couple of couple of notable differences.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the voice acting was really good.
Oh, yeah.
For the most part. Now, that being said, Samuel Jackson, for somebody who is not a trained voice actor, has done a really good job of voice acting.
Oh, absolutely.
And really the same can be said for Ricky Gervais and George Takei.
Yes, and I was pleasantly pleased that they snuck in at least twice his signature, oh my.
Indeed.
And it wasn't all the time.
Nope.
It was when it was needed, but it was there, and that made me happy.
You know, Mel Brooks was playing Mel Brooks, because Mel Brooks isn't a great actor. He's a wonderful comedian, but he's not a good actor.
Yeah.
And so he just always plays Mel Brooks in Mel Brooks films.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's Mel Brooks as Rabbi Tuckman, Mel Brooks as Yogurt, Mel Brooks as President Scroob, or Mel Brooks as the Shogun, for whom there's no business like Shogun business. The weakest part, I think, and tell me what you think of this statement, the weakest of the voice actors is Michael Cera as Hank.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that. Nothing against Michael Cera. I've enjoyed the few things that I've seen him in. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think they could have picked someone a little bit better to mm-hmm. be the main protagonist. Because in a live-action movie, he's fine. He knows how to act. Voice acting is a lot different because you have to convey everything solely through your voice.
It was a case of, it sounded to me like he was trying to play his Scott Pilgrim character.
Yeah, I can see that.
Through his voice, because he was a little bit whiny, a little bit soft, a little, you know, just kind of a non-presence. And this is the kind of movie that needs a really strong leading person to drive the plot forward. If you don't have a really strong villain, and Ikechu is decent, but he's not in the movie enough.
That's true.
To push it forward. You need somebody who's no joke, charismatic enough to push it forward. That's my biggest criticism of it, is that Michael Cera was, I think, the wrong choice for that role. An excellent actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that has a really good niche. I don't think this one was it.
So, yeah, no, I agree with that.
And for all I know, some of that was, you know, down to the directors and down to the script and so forth. I mean, this was the director's first film together. Rob Minkoff, Mark Ketsier, and Chris Bailey. Ketsier and Bailey's, this is their first time doing a movie. So it might come down to your first movie is trying to do voice acting with people who have been acting for 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I have the self-confidence to say to Samuel L. Jackson, I want you to do it this way. I think I would be afraid to do that. Then again, maybe not. He's probably a consummate professional. He's been in movies a while.
He probably is, but at the same time.
Yeah. It'd be like saying to Danny Trejo, it's like, look, I need you to look tougher.
That might give the man a complex. Like, I'm not tough enough. No. No, you're not.
No, it's not that you aren't tough enough. It's that you don't look tough enough. So talk to me about it. You had to have known before you even started this what it was.
I did, yeah. I didn't read up on the plot, but I always try to look at the cast ahead of time, just especially on animated stuff. It's like, okay, that's, you know, put faces with voices and whatever. And I did catch that it was a Blazing Saddles homage, parody, whatever you want to call it. Like, okay. And as soon as the opening credits started with the song Blazing Samurai, I'm like, okay, I now have a feeling of what I'm going into. Okay, fine.
Right. Yeah.
And then they the cats in question hit the opening credits, like they hit the title card and fall off their horses. Well, who put that there? Oh, the title department. It's like, okay. Okay. One of the first times that I actively laughed out loud, which is probably what got my son to come in the room, was they're showing the town and everything going on in it, and they pan past a hairdresser, and you have a cat sitting in the hairdresser's chair and another cat licking the customer's hair to get it to do it as a cat would do. And I guffawed, and I think that's what brought my son in. And from then on, we watched the whole thing together. So, and I chuckled the entire movie. There were a few times where I'm just like, okay, I see what you're doing here. But overall, it was a good movie and I enjoyed it. And if you want something to put on while the kids are in the room and you want to laugh too, you could do far worse than this. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Now, I agree with you completely and wholeheartedly, with an addendum that this movie, it feels made for the Mel Brooks fan.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm a Mel Brooks fan. So
Right. But I mean, take that, realizing that you can't take it out of you, because once the Mel Brooks is in you, it's just in you.
Yes.
But
that sounds but dirtier it, than it is.
Nah. Push it down just a little bit and think about the jokes and the style of humor and so forth. The silliness still plays through.
Yes.
You know, the sword fight on the toilet.
Yes.
It still plays out. But the sheer number of references and direct shot comparisons to Blazing Saddles is really for those who know.
That is true. Yes. It's still a good kids movie. I would recommend this. I would recommend this to any parent whose kid likes, you know, a little bit of action, a hint of drama, and some slapstick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would wholeheartedly recommend, whether they've even heard of Mel Brooks or not.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you are correct. It is an homage to that movie. It really is.
So as an homage, I loved it. Absolutely adored it. I'm glad you laughed. I'm glad you enjoyed your time in it.
Oh yeah.
If you're not a Mel Brooks fan, I don't think it'll change your mind.
No.
But at the same time, I don't know if it would turn you off either. There's enough other hands in it. There's enough other types of jokes that are kind of sprinkled into it.
Yeah, it is not a Mel Brooks movie, but it is lovingly crafted in that style.
Yeah. This is somebody saying, hey, I loved this stuff as a kid. I'm about to make something that uses those jokes, that uses that uses this energy. And so I really enjoyed it, really appreciated it. I don't have a whole lot else, because by the time you deal with story and voices, in terms of a movie, the only other thing you can talk about is the animation. And it's, you know, it's cel-shaded computer animated comedy film, you know?
Yeah, it's a CGI film.
I gotta say, does it have as much depth as a Pixar film? No.
No.
No, it does not. Does it have more depth than, you know, Red Riding Hood or something? Yes.
I would put it not quite as close, but in the same Venn diagram circle, or very near it, to Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, it's got a very DreamWorks kind of energy to it.
Yeah, Now, that being said, Kung Fu Panda, I think, is the superior film in terms of animation because there was just a lot more color and backgroundness going on with that. But the character designs, the movements, the everything has that Kung Fu Panda DreamWorks kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it is a Mel Brooks Blazing Saddles DreamWorks homage.
Perfect. And it's a see it from me.
It's a see it from me.
I think that means it's your turn next time.
I think it is, and I got something.
All right.
Hello, meet Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.